Blog Talk Radio.
On Wheels Now.
Welcome to On Wheels Now, your inside look at local motorsports. Live from Las Vegas, Nevada. I want to welcome everybody to the show, new listeners and regulars. And I want to thank Chrissy all the way from Texas for supporting the show. Thank you for being there with us. I don't know if you're there every Tuesday, but we're here every Tuesday live at 6 p.m. at onwheelsnow.com. And want to, again, thank everybody for joining us.
Hi, Chrissy. I'm in Las Vegas.
And we got a great guest here tonight, Chad, LVMS Superstock driver out at the Bullring. Chad Mattos? Is that how you pronounce it?
Mattos.
Yeah. Mattos, okay. Yeah. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much. Really
no
appreciate
problem.
It being here, you guys. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you for being here. And, of course, hosting along with myself, the one, the only, Mr. J.J. Nunn.
Yay.
Yay.
Good evening.
Hey, you got three fans here.
Huh?
Three of us. Well, maybe two fans. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I can't speak for Gary.
That depends. After the hour over, whether Chadwick is a fan of mine, I have no idea. That's I'm not counting on you two.
Well, he obviously never raced with you then.
Oh.
He's still a fan. I'm just kidding. We'll get to that in a minute.
Yes, he has.
I'm just joking. And we will get to that in a second, of course. Along with that, we'll move on.
It's taken him 10 years to forget.
Everybody was joyful when you left, and now you're – no. Right. Right, we'll get to that. I'm sorry. I'm just busting your chops.
There's nobody left out there.
You chased them all.
You've outlived them all.
Yeah, exactly. You outlived them all.
I love that.
You've outlived them all.
I love them.
Oh, man. Hey, we'll move along to the man on a mission, Mr. Gary Wyatt.
How you guys doing?
What's your mission, man? What's happening?
I don't know. I'm on another one.
You're smiling.
I'm always smart.
Yeah, I got to give you props. You know, Gary goes out of his way, gets some great guests like Chad here, and amongst other great guests, of course, Phil Goodwin and Pat Petrie here recently in the last couple shows, great shows.
Speaking of a great guest, next week we're going to have the one and only Aaron McMorrin.
Nice.
Well, you're giving away all the surprises.
That's okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, we'll talk about Aaron later.
Yes.
Next Chad show.
I just said we're going to have him on next week.
I'm just kidding.
Chad's here this week. We'll have Aaron next week.
That'd be great. We'll talk some more about that coming up here during the show. And again, want to thank everybody for joining us. And, of course, you want to find out more race information, you can go to the BomberNation.com website. Find out who's talking about you or go there, and that's where you talk your crap. Right? Talk about somebody there.
Absolutely.
More stuff for sale, man.
Air it out, really.
Yeah, Pat Petrie's got some rims up for sale.
You know, I want to say Pat Petrie's always got something coming or going on his H-Town race team, don't he?
And some suits.
So he's good stuff,
some,
too.
Some fire
got,
suits.
He's got some fire suits. They're the large size, but I'm sure you can get them tailored.
Gary?
No, I think he's talking largest called.
Okay. Watch your hand there. Okay, yeah. I'm sorry. Not large tall.
I'm talking 6 foot one to 6 foot son.
Exactly. Of course, great guy, Pat Petrie, and the whole H-Town team there. So they've helped a lot of people out there, you know, in the past. And, of course, let's move right back here to Chad Mattos. Superstock racer from LVMS, how many years in the Superstock division?
We've been doing it since 2007. We were a bomber up until then, and I ran with these guys, got some good stories, some bad ones too. I'm sure those will come out.
I remember the good ones, I don't remember the bad ones.
Well, everybody's looking over at JJ when he said the bad ones.
It isn't that different. He remembers the good ones and not the bad ones.
You know, it's funny, Chad, you're one of the silent names out there. I mean, you've been out there since 2007 in the Superstocks or in both bombers and
We did bombers from 2004 to 2006.
Wow.
Did it for a couple of seasons and then had a really good year. Didn't end well, but we had a great year in 2006, and it was decided, you know, we finished second in points, so it was decided pretty much amongst us all that we would move on up.
You know, that's a great finish. I mean, obviously the Bomber Division has a lot of great competition, and it's a great place to learn what to do and what not to do.
Absolutely, absolutely. Especially what not to do.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's something that we all end up doing is things where we probably don't want to be doing or shouldn't be doing.
Right.
So.
Oh, yeah?
Some guys just don't learn. Hey, everybody's looking at Jay now.
I know. I was expecting to grill Chad. I didn't know you were jumping on there.
Hey, let's talk about that. I mean, did you race before you raced the Bombers ever before?
No, we sat out in the stands.
How did that all come about?
We sat out in the stands
LVMS?
At the bowling.
That is cool. I always love hearing the stories of fan to racers.
Right.
So.
No, we were sitting in the stands and watching the Bomber Division. All the divisions, really, but we were really watching the Bomber Division. And back then, it was very different than it is today.
And that was in 2004, you said?
2003, we were sitting there watching.
So it's about the second year-ish that the Bombers started. And
third year,
2003,
yeah.
Because it started,
what, 2001? That's when shit started getting serious.
Yeah.
The water went away, the soap went away.
Yeah, they were...
All the run it, even
wet
though...
Wet tracks.
All the
windshield wipers started coming off.
All that stuff, Lexan started going in, cars started getting gutted, they started getting smaller, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It was a much different division than it is today. There was a guy out there in a 65 car, goes by the name of Gary Wyatt, and he was out there waxing everybody. And so I learned everybody.
Yeah.
And we learned really quickly. We ran there for a couple of years, got to know these guys really well, and then moved on up. Yeah.
Well, he got caught whatever he was doing, so he slowed down quite a bit.
I just slowed down in my Ford to make it easier for the Chevy guys.
Chad, where are you from?
I'm Northern California.
Northern California.
Northern
and you watch racing out there, and the Bomber was the first time you were in a race car?
Correct, yeah. Well, I grew up in Northern California. There was a dirt track up there. By the name of Petaluma Speedway, at a fairgrounds up there. And, back then you didn't have social media. You didn't have all the...
How far north was that? I've never heard of that racetrack.
It's about 60 miles north of San Francisco.
Oh, okay.
And
it is actually quite a ways up there.
A little town called Petaluma.
Cool.
And there's a dirt track out there, and that's kind of where I kind of grew up watching
what
racing.
What kind of cars did they have racing on the dirt track up there? Is it like just... Did they have modifieds back then, I guess?
They didn't have modifieds. It was all sprints.
Sprint cars,
a lot of sprint cars, midgets, stuff like that, and they were, slinging those things around there, and I just thought that was the coolest thing I had ever seen, and spent a few years, growing up watching that, and it just kind of stuck with me.
How'd you end up in Vegas?
Ended up moving to Vegas, and at that point in time, this city was, there's a lot of jobs, it was growing,
Work was good, yeah.
Oh, it was great, and moving from California here was a big difference financially,
When was that, approximately?
I want to say 92.
Everything was real cheap.
Absolutely. And spent some time in the stands watching the Bomber guys. And,
how'd you hear about the track? I mean, is it just something word of mouth?
Well, I was a big NASCAR fan back then. And
I
wonder if they got some local racing here. And looked it up, and lo and behold, decided to spend some time out there. And it was really cool. It was cheap to get in, and they had all kinds of divisions, and it was just something that caught my eye. Ended up moving across town over here and got involved with a man by the name of Jim Seeley. And he had a late model out there, late model, a 38 special, and kind of crewed with him for a little bit. But he had a Bomber. He had that big, giant Buick Electra.
1976 Buick Electra.
Right. You can imagine the visual right off of that.
Well, let me tell you, that's what I was telling these guys. I miss the early day Bombers when they first. I miss seeing those huge cars and things that you're like, what the heck's that doing on the racetrack?
I can move as a race car.
Yeah, exactly.
The Lincoln, the Cadillac, the Cadillacs.
I miss those cars.
The Buicks, the Oldsmobiles.
Yeah.
That's when it was a rolling demo derby.
It was. It was a different time back then, but really didn't have any aspirations to become a race car driver, just wanted to try it. It's like a little itch that I wanted to scratch, and lo and behold, once I got in there and got hooked, that was pretty much the end of that.
Instead of itching, you got the rash. The rash
that hasn't gone away.
That hasn't gone away, right?
The speed junkie.
Yep.
He became a speed junkie.
Yeah, never planned on being in this for 10 plus years. And
So sitting in the stands, your family and yourself, and you just decided, hey, I'd like to try that.
I think
you know,
I can
your,
do that.
Your wife was probably like, you're crazy. I don't
think
you're going to try it. Yeah.
Right. No, she supported me, but at the same time was probably like, well, this won't last very long.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like when your kid tells you they want to start playing guitar. You're like,
exactly.
Okay, we'll
send you a couple lessons.
Yeah, right.
Read this book.
We'll see how long that lasts. No, just itch I wanted to scratch and got in there. And, of course, you know, drivers know that once you're in there and you're strapped in and, you know, the adrenaline rush and just the excitement was something like that.
So you got hooked up with Sealy and was able to get a
he had a bomber
Friday
that he,
night practice type thing?
Yeah, he had a bomber, and it was, you know, this big giant boat, and we just basically had a handshake agreement that I would just get in and run one race, really. Didn't even practice on Friday night.
Oh, wow.
Just strapped in. And
That's cool.
It was a big slow car, so we, you know.
You must be a very trustworthy-looking person.
it cost me a few bucks.
Oh, okay.
There was a price tag attached to it. But,
okay. Phew.
But he had moved on, and so he was running the, you know, the late model division back when they had a late model division out there. And so, yeah, I got in the car and ran, I think it was one or two races, and I was just hooked. So
I decided
to buy the car.
When you first got into that car, what was the best part of the adrenaline that caught you that really...
I never understood.
Any part of it?
Yeah, I never understood what was involved.
Just the whole thing in general? And
absolutely.
The competition.
And then just being behind the wheel in front of all those people and flinging that big thing around the track. It was just... I was just tickled to death.
And you seem like a nice guy, but...
Oh, thanks.
Sometimes on the track, the inner JJ comes out of you.
I know where you're going.
All of our heads turn to the left to look at JJ again. You're very popular tonight.
Go ahead.
Lead up to it.
That's one thing about fun about being in the race car is you get to be yourself. You know, you get to be, you know, the good guy. You get to be the bad guy sometimes,
Absolutely.
And then, you know, I guess you're out there in these big boats driving cars and
huge,
you start kind of rubbing each other and stuff like that. I'm sure that excitement
starts coming out. And then got to meet these guys and started to realize what great people that I was racing with, to be honest with you. So one thing about racing that I love is the friendships and the people that you meet. They're so selfless and they're so giving, and I was just hooked.
Well, it's funny because the competition is fierce on the track, but when you get off the track, if you need help, something breaks on your car, that same person you're racing for a position with is the same person there helping you out, trying to make sure you get it back on the track or back out the next, race.
True races, they don't want to beat you in the pits.
Oh, exactly. And that's a good way to put it.
Once you're out on the racetrack to try and beat you, you know, beating somebody in the pits is not an accomplishment
as far as what I feel.
Right. I'd rather have somebody out there on the track. Hey, so he's beat me 10 out of 11 times, but maybe I'll get him 11th out of the 12th time.
Right.
You know? You don't want to see somebody sitting in the pits because we all know how much hard work it goes into it
just
to get there.
Now, when you first went out there, what kind of finishing positions were you...
We had the big car. Back then, it's kind of like it is today. There was a lot of bombers back then.
Mm-hmm.
And we were mid-pack.
Mid-pack, in a big, giant car.
And I just was...
But you still enjoyed it, right? At the total.
It wasn't even about where I was finishing.
Right.
I was just happy
being part of the race.
Right. I just
race.
Wanted to convince myself that I could do it and did it for, you know, a couple of races. I think it was towards the end of the season. And like I said, met these guys. And then parked that car. And the following year, a man by the name of Vinny Rucci was going to move up. And so he had a really good car. He had a really great Oldsmobile, and we bought it. He was up for sale, and I immediately jumped on it. And then that's when JJ comes in, because this is a great story. You have to hear this story.
I come in before that when you first started racing, and you painted up yellow and black.
Yeah, absolutely.
Had that sponsor.
Right.
And we had a great group of guys. We had 35 some odd guys,
right.
And I would always, you know, welcome to the bomber division. And I come walking up on Chad's car, and I'm like, okay, this is interesting. Why do we have a carpet glued to the driver's door. You remember that?
It was terrible.
It was terrible.
No, I'm not even kidding. It was it was a carpet. He gave me so much you-know-what over that. He literally would walk over, and he would stick his hand inside the car, and he would rub the carpet. Okay? And go, I love the shag, or I love the whatever
shag.
It was.
Was it green, if I remember?
It was hideous. It was absolutely hideous.
It was green shag.
And
I'm
to
like,
think that was the safety features on that.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It's okay, why?
Yeah,
and then, so that was a safety feature?
Apparently. it was bad.
At least that's what he went with.
Can I ask what the safety feature was?
Right.
I went back.
It was terrible.
I went back to the guy
that's
and I said, you're not going to believe this. What was the number at the time you were running?
77.
77.
Yeah.
And I was like, you're not going to believe this guy. I said, what?
That's what I...
Chad,
the new guy
that I just met in that 77 car. They go, what? I says, he's got the car carpet. And they're like, what do you mean? I says, go on there. Go check
that's
it
where
out.
I came from. Wow, I was wondering where that attention
like,
came from. No,
was,
no. Exactly.
Oh, yeah, I
Jay,
told everybody
they
over
start
there.
Rumors about you out there.
Right
they said,
about.
Where is this? I says, he's pitted with James Seeley. And they're like, there's carpet? I said, go check out the carpet in the car.
Well, here's the funny thing. 10 other cars next week had carpet in their car. They didn't know why, but they knew it made a difference.
Oh, it was terrible. It was
That's
a big giant car. And like I said, we went and bought Vinny Rucci's car, which is a front runner. And we wanted to run up front and started to get a little bit more serious about it.
Sure.
And so I had two bombers. I mean, I'd been in the division less than a year, and all of a sudden I got two bombers in my garage.
That's easy to do.
That was Gary Bodell's old car.
Really?
That was Gary Bodell's first car.
Really?
That Vinny got from Gary Bodell.
Okay.
And then Vinny sold it to you.
Correct. Yeah, he was moving up. Yep. It just started building a beautiful Charger back then, now super stock, but a beautiful Charger car. And put it up for grabs, put it up for sale, and the company that I was working for at the time, they wanted me to have it, and so they wrote me a check, and I went down there and bought it. And he, to his credit, he cried. I mean, he literally cried when I took that car away. Because he just loved that thing to death.
The attachment you get. I mean,
come on,
the man hours that go into these cars is just
the first
crazy.
Car you own,
oh,
the
yeah.
first car you
yeah.
build, is one of the toughest to get rid of.
Amen. Yeah.
And
I know, I still have
it.
Mine. Boy, do I believe that one. When you came out of the stands into the actual race car and doing the racing, did you ever scratch your head and say, wow, this is a lot harder than it looks from the stands?
Oh, my God. The preparation involved, people don't realize.
It's not just race day prep. It's,
oh, come
it's,
on. Yeah.
it's every day or at least nights on end before the race, especially if you have problems with the car.
Carpet cleaning.
Right. That one's not going away.
Carpet cleaners. It's actually built momentum back up again.
Yeah, he's in
it. Damn it, honey, I'm missing the green machine again. What'd you do with that?
Where's the square carpet that's in front of the closet? Somebody cut it out.
No, it was a big, giant change. I didn't realize at the time that the actual part of getting in the car behind the wheel and strapping in is a very, very, very small portion
exactly.
of a very big
Absolutely.
World. And all the work, like you said, day after day in the shop and all the preparation that goes into it, it really, really opened my eyes very quickly.
You know, it's funny because you sit out in the stands and you go to the pits and back and forth because in the regular spectator stands, you hear it all the time. You know, some fans are like, oh, I got this Camaro. I can do that. I can beat this guy and that guy. And you know, that's why I have a lot of admiration for someone that comes from the stands into the track because they've actually took that step and, you know, made it happen. But it's just funny to hear that because they don't understand what actually goes into
Absolutely.
Making these things go in circles. You
definitely,
know, there's
definitely.
A lot of work.
A lot of them just think you go home and boom, there's your race car.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Another
yeah.
just,
right.
hey, I'm going to go out there and run up front.
And you know, even in a bomber stock car division, sometimes it's even harder in a stock car division because you're trying to make this thing that you have to keep completely factory stock to make it handle on the track, and that's tough to do.
Absolutely.
You know, some
no,
of these
not easy.
Higher divisions, you're able to buy high-performance parts and things that make it easier for that thing to go in.
We were out looking for 30, 40-year-old parts.
And that was 10 years ago.
I got a 1976 out there, and that's 40 years old.
Right.
The Buick. That was the 76. Monte Carlo had 70. You're talking 30, 40-year-old parts.
Well,
Plus, and the junkyards are running out of them.
Well, no, it's crazy. Like 10 years ago, yeah, you could go out to pick apart, walk around, and see cars like that still, and not think any, you know, think twice about it. But then you go out today and look for these bomber type cars, and
they're becoming scarce. Pete Meyer has a front end of a Monte Carlo on the Bomber Nation up for sale. Go check it out. You want a front end? Go check it out.
Right.
Yeah. You know. You're good luck.
Yeah, they're not.
Good luck finding these Monte Carlos. These things are getting turned into hoopty-hoopty jumpers and stuff like that, man.
Right.
That's these Monte Carlos. Yeah. Even 70, 72. So it's hard to find parts for these things. We've gone as far as Salt Lake City to tow a car home.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Just for parts. Wow.
So you got into a new bomber car that was a proven, front runner, top five car.
Yeah, and it's always a double edged sword when you do something like that, because the car ran up front the year prior,
right.
And so you're really, really putting yourself on the line out there.
Well, and you said the company you worked for sponsored buying the car, so you have to perform also for your sponsors.
All the eyes are on you because it was a fast car before,
right?
And so, you know, you get out there, and if you don't do that, then your name quickly becomes mud.
Exactly. You think, well, that's supposed to be a fast car. How come this guy can't make it go
fast? It's a big giant.
That's funny.
It's risky, but we ran really, really well. The car was very, very fast, and had Vinny there to help me along. He was
that
at that point had moved up, and again, I had two bombers in my garage.
Yeah.
So
Vinny had finished second in points to Gary that year that car, and then you came out with it in 06.
Yes.
If I'm mistaken.
Yeah, absolutely. Right about there.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And so I had two bombers. And
yes.
And so standing there with Vinny, and this is a great story. You're going to love this. This is actually a really good story. And basically the wife is saying, look, you got to pick one. I mean, you can't, come on now. You got two cars here in the garage. You've got to get rid of one of these cars. And I'm like, okay, well, it wasn't hard to decide which one had to go. So Vinny and I are racking our brains. We're trying to figure out, well, what are we going to do with this thing? You know, put it for sale. It's going to take a while to sell it. You know, all this stuff. Vinny pulls out his cell phone, okay, and calls this guy by the name of J.J. Nunn.
No. He called Wade first.
Did he call Wade first? We ended up with you.
Then he called Anthony.
Did he really?
Then he called Anthony.
He didn't tell me that part.
All the same. All the same.
I was third in choice.
Hey, you were still a choice, though.
Yeah, you were
that's
right.
Good, huh?
And we basically told JJ to come get this car. And believe me when I tell you, JJ has never driven that fast in his entire racing career. He was at my house. I thought you flew in. I mean,
and from Henderson,
right.
I went all the way up north, 25 minutes north, to get the tow dolly.
No kidding.
And then you were out on Seven Hills.
Yeah, right about Silverado Ranch, yeah.
Yeah, Silverado Ranch and St. Rose Parkway.
Nah.
And I hauled ass. I didn't even. I just called Anthony and said, I'm borrowing the tow dolly.
Right.
I didn't tell him what for.
Wow.
He shows up to pick up this, you had just said 4,000 plus pound car with a car dolly.
4,200 pounds that thing weighed in.
Right.
Was that the tuna boat?
Tuna boat.
It was.
Okay.
That was
okay.
A tuna boat.
Okay.
Absolutely. And it was yellow back then, and then JJ took it away.
Oh, yeah.
Off to do good, great
that
things
is
with
cool.
it.
So. Got on St. Rose Parkway. You probably, I didn't
tell you. You called me. You called me back.
Got on St. Rose Park. Car didn't start. Well, we had it started, and then it sputtered or whatever to get it up on the tow.
It didn't want to go. No.
Yep, it was like its home, right?
I made a left-hand turn, and I don't know what, you had 70 series tires on it or something, or 60 series. Okay, we just barely got it on the tow dolly and thank goodness the fenders were missing off the tow dolly. Because otherwise, if there was fenders, they were coming off.
It wasn't going to make it. That's
okay.
Funny.
Yeah. And I'm hauling down St. Rose Parkway, and next thing I know, the tow dolly's going one way, the tuna boat's going another way.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. The straps barely
that is funny.
Made it over the tires.
Right.
Oh, yeah, that was a real cluster.
Yeah. He calls me up. He's like, hey, I need your help. Yeah. I'm like, you left 5 minutes ago. What's going on?
I haven't killed anybody with
it,
but.
Well, back then, St. Rose Parkway wasn't, as it was just two lanes.
Right.
It wasn't six lanes what it is today.
Oh, that's so
very
funny.
True. Yeah, but you made it home with that thing.
Oh, yeah, I made it. Yep.
So you got the phone call, had to go help push it back on that.
It was coming off. It was coming off the trailer.
It was
coming off, or something.
It was one of the straps broke.
That's funny.
And it was coming off of
right.
the tow dolly.
That's what it was.
And
okay.
instead of taking it back up to Owens, I pulled up in front of the house with it.
Oh, same house you live in now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that went over real well.
I bet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't say a word.
Really?
I did not say a word.
That's so funny.
His wife was like, your wife. All right, Jay, one of these got to go, and it's not going to be your truck.
Yeah,
it
the
was,
car or you.
No. It was 5 o'clock in the morning, okay, when the little lady is going to work.
She sees
and
it.
At 5:05, the front door flew back open.
Right.
And all I heard was, what the hell is this? I mean, think of black and yellow.
Right.
Bumblebee.
Right.
Yeah.
Right?
This humongous car.
This car, and oh yeah, I got out of bed and went into defense mode.
Well, let me explain.
I think if I recall right, the story went, oh, it's not mine. I had to help a friend get it out of his driveway because the HOA was on his ass.
Nice.
Okay, and that was partially true. You had told
right.
me,
you had
the new one outside, and Chad had said one of these things got to go. He never told me his wife said one of them got to go. We both
used. Truth comes out.
I didn't throw Chad's wife underneath the bus.
Right.
I said, well, the HOA. I says, you know, I did the guy a favor,
that
and I'm
funny.
Taking it up to the yard because
wow.
I wasn't taking it all the way up north.
Right.
Why?
Okay, running 95 with that thing after it fell off once.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, I dropped the car and then went into work the next day. I got a call in the afternoon. It's still here.
It's still here. I could see Bonnie doing that. Yeah.
I'm sure it wasn't that polite.
Exactly right. Right.
So when did the truth come out? When did you actually?
Huh?
When did the truth come out? When
yeah,
did you actually?
How long till she found out?
Right.
Found out what?
She still don't know it.
She still doesn't know. That's a long favor.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my goodness, that is hilarious.
It was. I don't. Let's see. I don't know when we went down to Pahrumpo 7 or 8. I think it was around 09, and it was, I had showed her a picture that I had got at one of the banquets, and she was like, oh, did you get a new car? And I was like, oh, yeah, didn't I tell you?
Yeah. Oh, by the way.
I didn't tell her it was the one that I picked up in 06.
That is funny.
Oh, my goodness.
Did you race it out at the bullring?
Oh, yeah.
Right after you first got
yep.
it?
Yep, I got it, raced it out at the bullring. And it was 07 we went to Pahrump with it. And that was one nasty dirt car.
That's what you said, like
oh,
when it
man.
Would when it was
it was a
wet,
mid, it was a
track.
It was a mid pack bullring car.
Right.
Okay. Because of the weight, the 4,200 pounds. But
that's
it,
amazing.
It loved the muck down in Pahrump. Okay, it loved when we were packing. It loved the heat races. If it went dry slick, I was screwed. But 2-3 times a year, that track came to that 4,200 pound car. I got several trophies with it.
That's
okay.
Funny.
When these lighter, higher horsepower cars
Gary.
Were spinning their wheels,
Gary.
Okay, that Buick, that 4,200 pound Buick dug in, man.
Wow.
That's, it really
the only
dug
thing
in.
I hated being behind that thing for is when it got sideways in
oh.
the corner, it took up every lane.
The whole track
was.
Like the gateway.
Yeah, I was like, man, I guess I got to pass him on the straightaway because I ain't passing him in the corner.
That's funny.
Wow. I went around the turn slinging it. Billy Grasso used to get pissed off with it. He says, I can't get around this thing in the turns. I got no choice but to shoot it down the straightaway. He goes, you're taking up 2.5 lanes when you sling that thing sideways. And when you slung it, you felt it. You shifted over to the right, even though you were turning
no matter
left.
What.
Right.
Have you ever been on the dirt track with any of the
that's
your bombers?
That's another story. That's another story that we got.
I got to hear it.
Well, I was already running Super Stock. This actually wasn't that long ago. And I was talking to these. Was it 2010? He was 10.
2010.
Okay. And was talking to these guys, and like, hey, just come on out and just come try this. Because I, again, been out kind of
right.
sitting in the stands supporting these guys and supporting the bomber division. And hey, you want to come out and just try it? You know, I've never been on dirt before. So I was talking to Gary about it, and he's like, yeah, I think we have a car for you. And I didn't know. I had no idea.
Right.
Okay, I had no idea what car they were talking about.
He thought it was long gone.
Right.
Oh, no way.
No,
this is funny.
This is a funny story.
That is cool.
And so I'm sitting there at the track, and they won't tell me what car it is. And I'm just like, well, what car is it? I'm just trying to, you know, ask a couple of questions.
He walks by it.
Oh, no way.
Because it was painted up different.
Right. Didn't even know.
We waited for him to check in.
That's funny.
And he walks by it. And he goes to Gary, and he goes, Gary, what?
Yeah, where's this car?
Where's this car I'm driving? And Gary points back. And Chad looks at it, looks back at Gary, looks at me, and he goes, is that it? And all I said, that's it.
The nightmares started coming back.
Oh, man. Yeah, thanks for...
He was totally amazed. He goes, you got to be kidding me.
Right.
That's it. I says, go ahead, look inside. I says, the only thing that I've done to it is take the friggin' carpet out.
I was going to say, you should have put carpet back in it just so he knew which car it was.
And if I'm not mistaken, we even put Chad Matos on above the door.
Yeah, went all out.
Yeah, that's cool.
You had your whole family out that night and your daughter.
Absolutely. Sang the national anthem.
Sang the national anthem out of Pearl.
That is cool.
Yeah, did an amazing job. I don't think there was a dry eye.
She's still singing?
She does. She still sings, still does her thing. She really did a really great job that night. We were all surprised. Not surprised in a bad way, but we were just
right.
She nailed it.
A new way, right.
No. She absolutely nailed it. And, I got to climb into my old car for one night only. It's like a, you know, one night only type deal.
Not once, but twice. It was double mains.
Oh, no way. That's right.
Yeah, it's double mains.
Yeah. And I got back in behind that
the beast.
Wheel of that beast. And then, said goodbye to her that night, kind of. But real quick. Whenever you give something away like that, you want to make sure that it goes to somebody who's going to take care of it. Thank you very much. I really appreciate that. You really took that car, and not only did you have a lot of fun with it, but had some success with it as well and got some race wins. So I'm very, very happy that thing.
You know, like I said, thank you, and, you know, had a blast with it. I'm glad I was able to do it. Yeah. That's all. It was special. Hated to see it go away, but, you know, I learned that with my first car. Sold my first car, gave my first car away to the Beavers, Dime Beavers. Dime Beavers were out there, father and son. Well, they were splitting races. And after the first year, I just gave it to his son. I said, here, take it. Come pick it up. He picked that up with a tow dolly.
Right.
And I said, here, go race with your father. Gave that away. Then I got a Monte Carlo. Then Jason Gray.
Yes.
He wanted the race bad, had some problems. I sold my Monte Carlo dirt cheap to him because he wanted the race, because I had Chad's Buick.
Right.
Now, I got two. And it was like, Chad said, one of them got to go. So I basically gave the Monte Carlo away, which, you know, was top five car for 3 years out at the Bullring, and got a couple trophies out of that down in Pearl with it, and then just started running the Buick, and came over to JC Motorsports, and Gary was like, hey, that ain't a Ford.
He
cursed that thing. He goes, that's a Chevy. I said, no, it's a Buick. I don't care, same thing. But Gary and Billy started working on that car and did a lot to it. It didn't ever touch the motor. And that's something we were talking about earlier.
Absolutely.
That motor was untouched for 8 years built by Rezawicki.
That's crazy.
That's true.
That is a good...
Big 455, I believe.
455, correct.
Yeah.
Yep. Untouched. The only thing we did was take a valve cover off of it to put another gasket on it.
Wow.
That's it.
Wow.
Never had the motor apart. And
that's what finally gave out on it?
Yeah, it finally, you know, it grenaded itself. Way to send it out the block, right?
Yeah,
it
was
the
oil
pan. And Jay actually tried to give it to me, and I actually would have took it if I could have found a 455.
But
I couldn't find it. I couldn't find a
454 were bolted right up.
I know, and I couldn't find
again,
either one,
but
really.
But then again, today at the Bullring would be obsolete.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right.
Yeah, no. It just would have been fun to bring something that big out and watch people's eyes get big and like, what the hell is that going to do with that thing?
Absolutely.
Now, that is really cool. That's a funny story, man.
Yep.
But you know,
thanks to Chad, I had a lot of fun.
Well, you know what? And
Gary, who helped keep it going and everything.
The nice things.
It was
like,
a good car.
Oh, the nice things that, like, something you did, Chad, by giving him the opportunity to get the car, gave you the idea and all that to do the same thing for other people and kind of paying it forward. You know, it all comes back around in one way or another. So.
Absolutely. It does.
But, hey, you want to take a quick break?
Sure.
Gary, we'll take a quick break, and after the break, we're going to be back here with Chad Mattis and talk about some more bullring racing with him in the Superstocks.
Yeah. Sounds good.
The number six Superstock.
That's right. We'll see you after the break.
I'm Phil Goodwin, and you're listening to OnWheelsNow.com. See you at the races.
BomberNation.com is your website for all the latest local racing news. If you are a race car owner, a driver, or a passionate fan of racing, the BomberNation.com is the site you'll want to add to your favorites list. Check out the message board, track schedules, special events, links, and our sponsors. The Bomber Nation, one sport under one nation. TheBomberNation.com.
Gentlemen!
The sound of On Wheels Now, every Tuesday at 6 p.m.
If you like cars,
the smell of gasoline and rubber,
or just love motorsports and auto racing,
On Wheels Now is your inside look at local motorsports. So don't miss the action. We'll keep you in the loop with the latest local racing news.
We're race car drivers, too. So join me, Michael.
And Mike, Tuesday at 6 p.m. Find us at onwheelsnow.com.
Nevada Pick Apart.
Who?
Nevada Pick Apart. Do you have a used car or a truck just sitting in the driveway taking up space looking ugly and tired of looking at it? Are you moving and can't take your car or truck with you? Did you buy a new car or truck and want to get rid of the old one? Contact Nevada Pick Apart, 702-644-1881. That's 702-644-1881. Sell Nevada Pick Apart your used or old vehicle and see it gone tomorrow.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire. Ooh.
Welcome back to On Wheels Now, your inside look at local motorsports. And this is the Racers Roundtable. It's where racers, race fans, and race officials can get together and just talk about local racing. Want to welcome everybody back to the show. Of course, we got Chad Mattis, LVMS Bullring, Superstock racer this year, and been around the track here for quite a few years here at the Las Vegas Motor Speedway Bullring. So,
golden oldie bomber driver. That moved up.
There you go.
There's a few guys out there. And Vinny Raiucci moved up. Matt Larson moved up.
Cunningham.
Cunningham moved up.
And that the bomber division is doing exactly what it's supposed to do. It's bringing guys from the stands into the track. From the track,
from the bombers to
on up to other divisions.
There's a name that hasn't been out there, but Mike Heck was one of the first ones to move up out of Utah.
Absolutely.
So the bomber division has provided quite a few guys.
Definitely
moving up.
I mean, you want to find out more? Of course, you can go to LVMS.com, click on the bouldering link, and click around there, and you'll see some rules and different things. They've added a few things in the racers section of the bouldering link. They've got the driver rosters there and results. I think they're going to be starting to put up there and all that also. So make sure you go to LVMS.com, click on the bouldering link. And if you don't find it there, you can always go to thebombernation.com and poke around there. Click on the message boards and see what's for sale. Or you got something for sale, put it up there or post something. Become a member. Whatever you want to do. That's the place to do it. Now, of course, you know, went from bombers and, you know, funny stories I didn't even know about the old
there's more.
The old car. I'm sure there's...
At least
there's,
we didn't get to the ones on track.
Well, exactly. That's
well, we the, never really got into
the,
it
the love-hate relationship.
We never got into it on track. But the one thing you did that one night...
Now that was just one night. Okay.
This is a great story because I really don't think this has ever been done.
I don't think too many people...
know what you did. And
well, let's hear it.
Then we won't. Well, I don't know if you guys want to talk about the wreck or not, but
well,
we,
you want to tell it or?
Well, yeah, we can talk about that. I mean, that's okay. It's taken me a few years, to be honest with you. It's taken a little bit to get over something like that, but.
Chad got an accident on the track.
Oh, okay. And I didn't know that.
A bad one.
A bad one, and I didn't know how.
In the bomber division.
They got him out of the car, and I pulled up with the Buick.
And he stops. I'm walking off the track because I wanted to walk off the track and just kind of compose myself. As I'm walking off the track, JJ pulls up in my Buick and proceeds to unbuckle. I mean, really was going to unbuckle. And he's screaming at me, Chad, get in the car.
Oh, wow.
Get in this car. Because we were running for points. We were second in points at the
second
time.
Yeah. You were running. I wasn't running for points.
Right. And we were on the verge, you know. Trying to beat the station wagon, at least. It was proved to be an impossible task. But
Larry
were trying to beat that car. And so JJ pulls up to me and is yelling at me, get in the car. He starts to unbuckle and wanted me to literally jump in that car and finish the race. And, of course, the officials were, what are you, crazy? I mean, come on. I think the officials grabbed me and sent you on your way or something like that.
Yeah, they just told me, no, you can't do that.
Okay.
But another amazing gesture.
That's cool. Well, I'm sorry you had a bad experience there, and I've had one myself, and we've all kind of had a taste of either the wall or another car or something that we didn't want a reminder of what how dangerous, you know, racing can actually be.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
But,
at that point in the race, I didn't need to be out there. Chad did.
No, again, you know, that's something Jay don't get credit for. I know, you know, the like you said, a lot of drivers that you compete with put themselves out there, and Jay's obviously one of them that continues to do that with everybody, and he don't get the credit sometimes he deserves for that. So thank you for bringing that up.
No, absolutely. And then Gary comes into this really quickly as well. We were, and we'll put a cap on this and move on, but the car was totaled, obviously, and we were done for the year, but we were second in points, and I believe there were, Gary, help me out, I think there was one or two races left.
Two races of the year, yeah.
Right, and we were second in points, not that far out from the championship. And the phone rings, and it's Gary Wyatt. And he starts talking to me, talked for a little bit, and, hey, you know, do you want to do this? Please come get my car. I want you to finish the season.
Wow.
And which
really
was another
cool.
great gesture. I mean, that's what I started off talking about, these two guys.
Yeah.
And took his car out, finished second, I think, in both races, finished second.
Yes.
It was a great car.
Yeah, cool.
And
amazing.
Another amazing story, like I was telling you earlier, about how racers and how selfless they can be and how giving they can be.
Absolutely.
And, you know, those are two situations I'll never forget, these two gentlemen.
No, and that's good. I'm glad to hear that, especially in, you know, in a division that's as competitive as it is. You know, through the years, it's progressed into a real, very competitive division from the start till what it is today. So, but you know, I'm sorry again, you had to experience a bad experience like that. But that's where like sponsors and stuff come in. You know, they help you get back on the track. Did you end up getting another car? Or did you go into the Superstock?
We went straight to Superstock. The season ended. I ended the season in Gary's car. We ended up second in points, and which was good. We were very happy about that. But then the plan was to move up, and went and bought a roller from a man named Dale Ward. And it was just sitting in his, you know, again, sitting in the front yard and needed some love. And I've had the same car ever since.
The Camaro?
Yeah, okay. 79
the,
Camaro.
The white one.
The white
one. Dale Ward, I haven't heard a name in a long time. He was another bomber driver.
Unless before we get too far, you know, like I mentioned sponsors, let's get to some of your sponsors real quick,
absolutely.
If that's okay. Before, because sometimes we get near the end and we kind of get them cut off, and they're so important to what we do that we have to give them the credit that's due to them. So
without the two sponsors that have helped me, I probably wouldn't be where I'm at right now. The first one, huge shout out to the Keller family, everybody at J&S Automotive and Machine Shop. He really took me in and built me a motor, a real motor. And when that happens, everything changed for me. I mean, overnight everything changed.
Is that crazy how something like that can just take you from one level to the next?
Absolutely.
That fast.
And then he introduced me to a guy that goes by the name of Scott Gaffarini.
Oh.
And
who? The Wizard?
Right.
There's a reason.
Right.
Yeah.
And again, that's when that happened. The combination of those two things, the new motor company and being under that umbrella at SG Speed, everything changed for me. We went from being a back-of-the-pack car to actually being up front with the big dogs and running well. So,
and you know, that Superstock division, it's a competitive division. Them mostly Camaros now, I believe. But, man, there's a lot of changes that the Charger division has gone through over
Absolutely.
The years. And what they are today is just crazy, the horsepower that they have and the whole car in general. It's just really an amazing division.
Besides the new team, you're with sponsors on the car?
Right now we're working on getting this new company that I work for, which we won't mention yet because they haven't cut me a check yet. So
okay.
When they cut the check, no.
Tell us the first letter of the company.
No, they've been really, really nice. And it's a new company that I'm with that I'm working for.
Cool.
And they've actually expressed interest. They ask a lot about how's the racing going. And they've jokingly said, what's it going to take to get the name on the car? And so that's always a good thing to hear.
Right, you know,
I don't see no joke in that. Just let me check.
Right.
You'll see.
It correlates to the size on the car. The bigger
right.
the check, the bigger the name on the car.
Absolutely,
right?
Absolutely.
Now, and we always push that here is, you know, to visit the sponsors you see at the racetrack. Visit the sponsors, businesses that are on the race cars because they help us all do what we love to do, whether it's on, your own car or somebody else's, it helps keep us racing.
It's important. Right. And for Chad, my biggest concern was that he did not sign Carpets and More.
Sponsor. I'd like to see a fully shag carpeted outside of the car.
That is never going away. That's important. You totally
forgot about that.
Yeah.
You totally forgot about that.
Got the things out. It's like clear and you've revamped it now. And so now it's going
to. Gary's going to post it on Facebook.
Oh,
okay. You name
away.
It. No.
I'd actually forgotten about that. Thanks for reopening that wound. That's awesome.
You know, when Jay comes up to your super stock, the first thing he's going
to
look for is a piece of carpet.
I might have
in
to put some in now. I might have to put some in.
A little patch
in there.
For
just,
him, right?
Just to make him happy.
Bring some luck into
right?
it.
I think I kept a piece of that carpet just for him.
No, you didn't.
Oh.
That would have been funny if you did.
No, you did not.
So the first year you're running super stocks.
Yeah.
What was it like? I mean, you're going into car, a car that you can actually set up.
Yep.
You know, you got weight jacks, and you have horsepower underneath you.
Absolutely.
some better racing tires. What was that like for you?
It was a big change. It was a drastic change behind the wheel. A car that handles the way that it handles.
You went from automatic to a manual.
Absolutely.
Shift, of course.
It's really easy to overdrive the corner. At least it was for me that first year. I think I overdrove the corner the first season. And had to learn to kind of slow down to go faster, if that makes any sense.
Yes, absolutely. Especially in a super stock. You know, it's a leaf spring car. Obviously, they react kind of a little different than some of the coil spring cars. And
right.
And absolutely, you got to kind of slow down to go faster. You got to watch the way you're going in. Instincts tell you want to go drive in as fast as you can, but that's not always what you want to do, especially in a super stock.
No, absolutely. But we had a good year. We ended up finishing top five in points. Thought we were going to win the Rookie of the Year. We didn't, which is okay. But we had a great season.
Who did that year?
I thought it was Cunningham. Was it Cunningham?
Was it Matt?
I think it was Matt.
Was it Matt? See, the group of you guys all went. You,
right.
Vinny, Mike, Matt,
right.
Matt Larson.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all you guys went at once.
Right.
It was like 06 and 07.
We
all you guys
gone.
Went Charger racing.
You scared us away.
That's cool. Yeah,
No, we had a good season, and I think Matt finished fourth, I believe, in points. I finished fifth, and I think he took it home that night, and I was a little disappointed, but obviously happy for him. You know what I mean? That's the one thing about racing is, if you don't get it, you're a little upset. You're a little bummed out. I really wanted it, but at the end of the day, when your friend wins it, or somebody that you look up to, then obviously you're happy for that.
I think Mike Heck had finished third. There was something I think I brought to Gary's attention. I said, look at that. I says, we got three bomber drivers in the top five the first year.
Oh, that's right. Yep. Yeah.
You know, I think Mike Heck was third.
Mm-hmm.
Phil won, and I don't know where Mario was at that point.
I think Mario was second. I think
was
he was
second.
Second, and then, third. Cunningham, and then myself.
Yeah.
But it wasn't quite the cast of characters back then. I mean,
it was.
Let's be honest. I mean, you had the great Phil Goodwin. We can't say enough about the man.
Oh, yeah.
Mario, his teammate, and then you got the wild man, Vinny Rucci.
Yeah,
you got Heck,
right.
You got Cunningham, Heck. You got me. It was quite the. It was very interesting on race day. So definitely missed those guys.
And was it Gary and I were like, it wasn't good. We're away from those guys. So we're like, hey, they're gone.
They were thinking the same thing, right?
But no, the bunch of us traded paint together, and we're all good friends today.
Well, they're waiting for you guys. When are you guys going to get to the Superstock?
Thank you. I've been asking that for years.
As soon as somebody cuts Me and Gary a check for a total of $40,000.
Yeah.
$20,000 each, and we'll think about it.
Well, that just cue the crickets right there.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I got them. Hold on.
$20,000 each, and
right,
that'll do it.
Well, that was another. You were asking about the differences between the two, even though the two divisions are right next to one another. As far as you know, when you move up, that's typically where you go. There was a huge jump. Cost-wise.
Financially, absolutely.
And I didn't realize that either. I just thought, well, I'm going to buy this car. I'm going to throw some tires on it.
Well, you're thinking, you know, hey, entry fees are the same and things like that. You know, so what else could be that different? Obviously, you know, tires and fuel. And
is that the crickets, really? The waterfall and the crickets? Yeah. No $20,000 check. Well, that's not going to happen.
We have a sponsor for you, Jay. We just can't tell you who it is yet. No.
That's scary.
Do you guys ever think about moving? I mean, real quick, do you guys, have you ever? I mean, I think you tried it for.
I tried in 07.
Did you do you use somebody else's car? Or did you?
No, I built a brand new car.
No way.
I built a brand new Mustang.
That's
a surprise, yeah.
Well, I didn't know that.
72 Mach 1.
I did know that, but I didn't really get into details
and
with you.
After the first race. The Monday after the first race, I broke my right hand.
So. Oh, that's right. I do remember
so
that.
So they were telling me something. So after that, I went back down to the Bahamas.
In Gary's defense, he couldn't flip anybody off anymore with his right hand, so he had to give it up.
Gary was headed up, and you were shown I was watching your car being built.
Yep.
That Mustang, and I was like, no.
Really?
No.
It was similar to.
No, I didn't. I never even had an aspiration of such.
It was similar to Keith Dancer's
Mustang.
Car. Yes, the 95.5 car.
Yeah.
Oh wow!
And I built it from the ground up. Everything. And the first race was Saturday night, and then Monday morning I went to work and broke my hand. So.
And that took care of that.
So
yeah.
That took care of that. So then I bought another bomber and. Here I am today.
Nice.
Hey, nothing wrong
very
with that.
Nice. Nothing
you know,
wrong with that. Yeah.
And speaking of that, I don't know what color it is, but it was a yellow car out of Tim Massering's son is in the rebuilt car of the one that you drove for them two races.
Really?
Yes.
Nice.
It's 21, I believe.
21, yeah.
He took it out last week or last race, and I had heard there was a problem with it, so they loaded it up and went back to Utah with it.
Oh,
but
wow.
It's the rebuild.
Still there.
Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah. I love those stories when race cars get passed
around. Trust me, I don't like seeing race cars die.
Amen.
I'd like to see them move on.
Yeah, you have so much time and so much energy. And I mean, can you imagine how many hours go into this thing that we do?
Yeah.
So those are good
stories. Yeah, many, many, many hours. Yeah.
So you feel comfortable in the Super Stocks? That's where you're... at right now, that's your division.
That's
for
where
now.
I'm at right now. We don't. It's probably where I'm going to stay.
Yeah. How's the group of people you see out there right now? You raced one race with them this past race. And,
it was interesting. I really enjoyed it. I mean, I love the people that I race around. I've always looked up to some of the bigger names. You know, obviously Phil Goodwin. Always looked up to him. And Wingard. Some of the big names that have won a lot of races out there. Those are the guys you're always shooting for. Those are the guys that you want to be. But I'm excited about the new crop of drivers that we have out there now. Smotherman. I mean, we have some great, you know, people out there.
Dylan's out there racing.
Yeah, people that have moved up, and then some old faces as well. You know, got Sargent still out there, and some guys who are comfortable racing.
Surprise, Sargent. Is he going to race a full season out there? I guess, or do we know that?
I don't know.
I was actually surprised to see him back out there.
Yeah, I really enjoy racing around those guys, mm-hmm. and the more you race around them, you know, as the years go by, you get familiar with these guys, and you just feel comfortable. Around them, and it's just you have a blast.
It's we've talked about that in the past. It's when you start knowing the guys you're racing with, it's they're predictable, so you know what they're going to do. It's the new guys that you don't know what's going to happen. You know,
absolutely.
You don't know how they're going to react to certain situations when you're out. You know, when you race the division,
right.
as long as you have,
right.
you kind of get to know who's around you and
absolutely.
And how they react to different situations.
Yep.
So
absolutely,
it makes it more comfortable.
Yeah. Should be a great season.
Yeah,
should be
the
exciting.
Car's looking good.
Thank you.
That's,
car's looking good. We got another car in our stable as well.
No, so you can't stop with one. You got to have two.
Well, I have a teammate.
Okay, that's different.
Yeah, Johnny Spilotro.
He's been on and off out there in the past.
He's been
out
there, absolutely, and he's doing really well. He's getting a lot better. And
he runs number 38.
Number 38.
Yeah.
And we're out of the same shop, and he's a great teammate to have, and he and his family have helped me a ton on and off the track. And he's just a pleasure to be around those guys. And really proud of him, really happy for him because he's running better and he's got that twinkle in his eye. You know, when you start running well, you know you get that little sparkle
exactly,
in your eye.
Yep.
Little bounce in your
it's
step.
It's amazing how that, like a win or a chance at a win or something like that really changes your momentum.
Absolutely.
You know, it's just
for
just
me, it's awesome. A 10th place finish and I'm on my way.
You know what? You're buying the beer afterwards.
When you come from an 11th place or a 12th place, then yes, each position further up is a sparkle back in your step.
See,
you know?
What makes Gary happy, what makes me happy is, hey, I ran the race and I didn't hit nothing. I had a good run.
Well, next time you finish 10th, I'm going to come over and look for the beer.
All right.
You're buying.
There you go.
It will be there.
You're buying, buddy.
Yeah.
Now, that's cool. So the, you know, obviously the division you're in right now, you've raced with a lot of great racers. You know, that's actually moved up also into other divisions, like Kaylee Barker,
absolutely.
Obviously. And,
she was
and
great to race around.
She is such a
class act. She's a class act.
She's just such a clean driver. Right. She knows how to stay out of situations.
Yep.
She knows how to adapt. And she's moved up, obviously, in the super late model division and racing with some competition there that's just amazing that you can even run with them guys.
The cool thing about her is that she was always, at least to me, she was always one of the boys.
Oh, yeah.
You know, she
right.
was just one of us.
And you didn't think of her as, you know,
not
you
at
her
all.
Little, yeah.
I had so much respect for her. And every time we were around each other, like you had just said, clean.
Right.
She's a clean driver, clean racer. She's going to try to beat you, don't get me wrong. I mean, she's going to try to get
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. I mean, she actually won a championship out there.
Yeah, she did. Absolutely.
So.
Absolutely. She deserves all the success she has right now. She deserves.
Absolutely.
So I'm very proud of her.
You know, I can't wait till you get some championships under your belt.
That'd be nice.
Some wins,
yeah.
Anything.
Absolutely.
We're
running better. Every time we go out, we get faster and faster. This was only my second race back. Not making excuses, real quick, but it was my second race back in 2 years. We've already improved. A lot. Over half a second we've improved.
What's some of your most memorable moments? I know we're running out of time here as we only got minutes left, but some most memorable moments out at Bullring, whatever division it's in, something that stands out to you the most?
Just really, it's just the great people that I've met, to be honest with you. Yeah, we can always go back and say, well, this race was great, or that race was great, or that night of fire was awesome. But the one thing I take away from what we do are the great people that you meet,
sure,
and the friendships and the camaraderie, and like you had said, helping people. Those are always the things that stand out in my mind. Those moments, the stories that we just told
right.
today,
oh,
those
yeah.
stories,
they
you'll
never go away.
You'll never forget those things. So those things are important. You have good nights, you have bad nights, and you kind of have to take the good with the bad in racing. That's just the way that it is. But I got a few years left of me. We'll be doing this for probably a couple
of years. Good news, a guy out at... Perump, 86 years old, still running. Not recently, but 87 running. So you got about 40 years left or more. So
no way.
Tell your
wife that's not going to happen.
Well, I know it made Gary feel happy when he heard that. He's like, I still got 40 plus years to go.
Look at it like this, Chad. The next you run the super stocks, if you don't take it any further than that, you can look forward to
come
it.
Back 30, to Bombers, listen to you.
30 right. years to hear your wife. You can't have two of them. You're not going back to Bombers, are you?
No.
Just kids will be gone away from college, and
right.
you'll have all that extra
right.
money.
Well, kids, have moved out. Kids have already moved out. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, kids are gone. They're off work and doing their thing.
Oh, wow.
So that's, you know.
You hitting them up for sponsorship money, I hope?
They're hitting me up. It's like,
No. That's
quickly,
not how it works.
Yeah, Dad, we need money.
Very quickly realized that just because they move out of the house doesn't mean anything.
Exactly.
Nothing changed. It doesn't change.
You want to make a bet? Well, my daughter's listening. She's supposed to be getting married. She's getting married, yeah.
Oh,
and the very first thing I said, you set a date? She goes, yeah, I set a date. I says, okay, where are you living April 12th?
She said, right here, where are you living April 12th?
You're moving up. That's good.
Yeah. And if you have any doubts about that, I'm sure she said, Mom! We got still a beef here with Dad.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, we're out of time again, as usual. Class Act, Chad Mattis, thank you for joining us here. Appreciate you. You know, obviously, we got more stories, and we'd love to have you on sometime in the future.
I would love to do it again.
You know, everybody.
Through the end of the season, you come back in, we'll talk about the season.
I would love to do it.
And you know what?
Thank
everybody,
so
go to the racetrack this weekend, LVMS. These guys are running this weekend, Super Stocks and the Bombers, all this weekend at the LVMS Bullring. You can go to LVMS.com or thebombernation.com. As usual, out of time.
Chad.
So,
I hope you land that sponsor.
It's been great.
Yeah,
I can't wait
to hear who it is now.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll be looking at that black car with
right.
Whatever coming up. I really hope that comes up. I'm glad to hear that you're happy over there with Gaffarini.
Thank you.
And
you know,
Thank you so much for having me on.
No problem. Thank you. We'll see you live here next Tuesday at onwheelsnow.com at 6 p.m. Thank you for joining us.
Have a good night. Thanks for listening.